podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to one of the 10 best English language Fiorentina podcasts on the internet. Welcome to Viola Station.
Welcome back, Viola fans, Viola Nation, Viola Station. It has been one hell of an interesting week between some of the matches that have gone on. A draw, a loss, and an epic, more than epic, definitely said epic, press conference. Tito, you know, what are you thinking these days based off of Viola Nation and Viola Station?
Yeah, been some interesting. What's the old curse? May you live in interesting times. We are definitely living in them. Yeah, on the field, not so great. Off the field. Hey, Mike, what are you drinking?
Nothing yet. I want to get through the first part of this because I know the script and where it's going. So I want to have my wits about me and a clear mind and sight of where things are going. But eventually you will start hearing me drink, of course, as everybody knows, a glass of Brunello.
There it is. There it is.
How about you? What are you drinking?
Water. I had a bad night last night. Ooh. And then woke up at 5 a.m. for this Fiorentina game and then had my first Sunday league game of the year. And I think I've put down about 2.5 gallons of water today. And it is it's probably going to be like a 3-something gallon day. I'm suffering, man.
So I have two questions for you. Number one, liquid IV. Do you use that at all?
No, I'm not that cool.
So I do think that you should use it. I got it when we went down to Disney, and I'll tell you what, it was so hot. Everybody was a mess, but the liquid IV definitely worked. Now, you just listed out a whole bunch of things that were really crappy that happened over the past 24 hours. Can you rank them in order of crappiness?
Ooh. Well, I'm going to say the hangover is the worst thing because it kind of amplified everything else.
Okay.
I'm going to put Fiorentina's game right behind that because that was, I didn't throw up from the hangover, but I almost threw up from watching that. And Sunday league was good. We won. Good. So that was far and away the least bad thing.
Good.
Well, let's go ahead and get this on track, reference a little thing you mentioned, which is a certain Rocco Commisso press conference in which a certain Mike McCormack got called out by name as a bad influence. We're actually not going to go into this super at length. You can read about it on the site. We've posted about it there, violanation.com. I'm sure you're all aware and read religiously. Thank you for that. But just real quick. Yeah, Mike. Yeah. What the hell?
As you said, we're not going to go into too much depth here. I think we put together a very well-written, to the point, matter-of-fact response. So just a little bit of background here. On Tuesday, Rocco had his quarterly semi-annual press conference. And as they always go, it was to script. Same thing that is always discussed. Journalists are awful. I spend money. I did a great job selling Dusan. We're in a better spot. I'm building. They won't let me build. Just the same narrative that everything kind of goes with here. I wasn't watching it. I was actually working as I normally do at that time during the day here. When I did get a couple of messages, and I've learned my lesson. I will not mention names ever again.
Yeah.
So I won't mention them here. But I did get a couple of messages from some of the journalists that were in the room. And basically they asked, you know, hey, are you watching this press conference? And I said, no, why, what's going on? And they said, Rocco just mentioned your name. And I said, you know, laughing, LOL, now what? And they said, he is going off on you. He is just making a whole bunch of claims. And I just asked for some clarity. So they sent me the link. By that time that I was able to get to watch it, I was able to just skip to the time where it was. And there were just a lot of really off the wall comments that were made. I have my speculation as to where they're come from. And in time, I'm sure that we'll probably have that that discussion. But as for now, there's just a lot of other things that may play out, and I'd rather not get into it. As I said, it was just a really weird situation to hear him go off and the things that he did go off on. After all the years that I have supported him, there is no doubt that Rocco has helped us at Viola Nation. There's no doubt that he has helped me. He's given us access. He's given me access. We've done a lot of wonderful things over the years because of his support. But that doesn't mean that we didn't support him as much, if not more. I think I can speak for myself and say that I've gone above and beyond to help him in times where, as he mentioned, others weren't. Just those things just don't go appreciated, and it's a lesson learned from me. So that's kind of the background there, and what played out is our response that was sent out Friday night. I think I posted at 11 o'clock our time, and it hit the press over there around 5 a.m. and like wildfire, it was everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the response that we've gotten, again, not naming anyone's names, of course, but a lot of messages of support, I think, from fans, from other writers, just from tons of people around it, both in Italy and around the world. So thank you, everyone, for that. That's been really cool to see.
Yeah.
I would like to just throw in real quick, too, is the theoretical boss at Viola Nation. We're behind Mike all the way. He's been nothing but great. He is, I think, sometimes been a little too easy on Rocco, if I'm honest.
Mm-hmm.
Mike has always been our big Rocco guy, and so we're supporting Mike all the way. Viola Nation is 100% behind him. Producer Mike has a fist in the air, so producer Mike is in as well. But just want to make it clear that Mike is great. He's cool. He's very handsome, and we got his back the whole way. So if there's any question on that, hopefully that's answered now.
Yeah. And if you have any questions, just go read the article. Everything is detailed out. I don't know if we've ever published an Italian article before, but this may be the first time. It was necessary. So if you have any questions, everything's detailed in there. And like I said,
and there is a version in English also, if you're not looking to read the Italian. But yeah, okay. I feel like we've pretty much covered that, gotten that out of the way.
Over and done with.
And hey, now we can move on to happier things. Like, what the hell, Bologna? Really?
Yeah.
Yikes, man. Tell you what. I mean, we're recording this on Sunday afternoon. So a few hours after. So we've had some time to think about it. And we're going to try to avoid the knee-jerk reactions. And we will fail miserably because that's who we are, right? But tell you what, man. Pick one good thing out of that if you can. Can you?
Can I pick one good thing out of it? I'm going to pick the fact that in the first half, I loved when I started seeing Dodo actually darting through the middle of the pitch.
Yeah.
He decided that he was going to take that ball, and it opened up the middle of the pitch, and there were options galore. I'm not sure why we didn't go back to that anymore, but I was really, really excited when I saw that. I don't know why. I mean, well, I do know
more on that later. No, that's fair. I think, I've got to say, picking Dodo out as the positive is a little bittersweet since he did have to go off injured. I think the
calf muscle injury.
Was it calf? It looked like ankle to me.
Yeah, and it's been reported at this point it's a muscle injury in the calf.
Okay. Oh, I'm actually a little bit gladder to hear that. I was worried that would be something structural. That pitch was real rough, man. Lot of sliding out there, a lot of slipping and sliding. Yikes. Hope he's back soon. I think I'm with you actually. What I've got down on the script here is I thought this was the best collective game I've seen from Fiorentina's fullbacks this year, probably in a while. I thought Biragi was pretty good going forward, did his job really well, hit the overlaps well, as per usual. Good with his passing. Dodo was dynamic, getting the ball into the final third. I still want to see him do a little bit more with it once he gets there. But he's definitely starting to look like he's going to be a long-term solution.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Man, so that was nice. That was so positive. I love doing that. Hey, Mike, what's one bad thing you can take away from that game?
One bad thing, huh? Well, listen, let me start with this. We're actually going to now have a sip. Now we're going to have a sip of Sombrello.
Folks, it's, hang on, let's get him warmed up here. Mm. Ooh, looks good.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. Nicely aerated. Oh, my God, it's beautiful. One bad thing, I think you already mentioned Dodo, so I won't hit on that, but Dodo did get injured, and that's just another injury that nobody wants to see on this team of you know, it's a walking wounded group.
Yeah.
I think it's consistent here as far as why we keep going, especially after I mentioned the one good thing that I liked. Why do we keep going to the wings all the way up to the outside when we have nobody who can get their head on a ball?
Yeah.
Nobody. The one good thing outside of Dodo was Saponara, who I was wondering why he's coming in. Did you see his cross? Where was his cross when we scored? On the ground.
Yeah.
On the ground. And even LMQ got his foot on it. Even LMQ got his foot on the ball. So why do we have to loft these balls in? And they're not accurate. They're such high lob. It's like we're golfing with these things. I am very perplexed. I know that we've already discussed the rash of changes that Italiano has going from one game to the next, and it's been debated at this point
at least
so
not
much.
This time, right?
But I do wonder why we have to keep lobbing these balls in from the edge, especially when we saw Dodo having some success.
Well, I think you know, Mike, and I know why we have to keep doing that, because we are Fiorentina fans, and if there's one thing we know, it is suffering.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the thing that drove me nuts is a pretty related thing, actually. Striker just very isolated. I mean, Jovic was much less sluggish than he's been, I think.
I thought he had a decent game, to be honest. Yeah. His hold-up play was good.
Yeah,
he pressed pretty well.
He tried to press, yeah. He showed for the ball and tried to link up a few times.
Yep.
He was much more active, much more engaged. But the thing is, when you're playing with a lone striker against three defenders, you need some help for him. And so I think, to me, that's where I really wanted to see the central midfielders getting higher up to support him, so that when he did show for that ball, he could just take one touch to a runner or have the wingers move in and do the same thing, especially with the fullbacks playing well and maintaining the width. So I think for me, especially against a back three, seeing how isolated Jovic was very frustrating. And I think Italiano realized it too, because he did change formations to move another striker in with Kwame there towards the end, which was interesting and was a thing we had, I think we'd all been hoping to see. Shame it was under those circumstances.
I guess everybody reads our our sight on that Fiorentina squad there. I don't know.
Yeah, man, feels great, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, and if we are going to talk about the club and the tactics, I think we also got to talk about the recruitment policy here as well, because we have not done our official Viola Station Idiots Mercato review yet. Mm-hmm. And so let's jump on that. Producer Mike's making a face at me right now, like he doesn't like that segment name. Don't worry, we'll workshop it later. You can drop a better name in here in post.
We'll probably still settle on what you came up with, though.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
tell you what, man. What was your favorite part about the Mercato? What worked, do you think?
What worked? A couple things. Re-signing Milenkovic. We kept Kwame, even though there was a lot of thought between. And thankfully, in the press conference, we realized Rocco saved us. Signing Dodo and Barak, and then also loaning out Kokorin. So those are the things, five things that I have as far as were positives.
Yeah, that last one for me. I mean, like keeping Milenkovic, I think, is maybe the most important deal this club has done in a while. But getting Kokorin out of here, my goodness. There's a Russian guy on my Sunday League team. And when he mentioned, I've got a big Fiorentina sticker on my water bottle. he saw, he's like, oh, Cochran, huh? I was like, he's gone now. He's like, yeah, you must be so happy. Everyone in Russia is just making fun of Fiorentina for paying that much. And I was like, good Lord, man. That's brutal. Like, I didn't need that. I'm hungover. Like, I didn't need this right now, man. Come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for me,
getting rid of just lost. Is, I mean, he's just rubbing it in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Boy, howdy. But, yeah, so for me, that was the big one. I agree with everything you said, but, man, getting rid of Cochran, so good. And, you know, since this is how we've been doing this, right, let's jump in and say, hey, Mike, was there anything about that Mercato that you didn't like? Anything involving a certain Uruguayan of minimal stature?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Torreya and, dare I say, midfield. I think that we did make a home run purchase in Brock in the midfield. However, the fact that we let go of who probably still would have been the best midfielder we have on the team, maybe Barak would have something to say about that. But now we have, when you look at the best players, Barak, Amrabat, and Jack. Why do we still have a situation where old man Bonaventura, who's very good, but should not be playing an entire game? Why is he starting and playing an entire game? The midfield bothers the hell out of me. The fact that we let go Torre at 15, okay, they may have been right at 15, but I can tell you that the fact that they didn't come back and get him at 7, at 6, or 5, it wasn't a personnel issue. It was a personal issue. The reason why Torreya was let go was more personal than personnel. And that does bother me.
That, I think that's a pretty reasonable thing. Letting emotions get in the way of good decisions here. Pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. Fiorentina letting emotions getting in the way of things. Who would have thought, right? Not this group.
I mean, fortunately, you and I would never do that.
Never.
I think for me, actually, it's a kind of related thing. The lack of depth, I think, has been a real issue. There's, you know, I think the backup fullbacks, Terzic and Venuti, probably aren't good enough right now. There's just a really substantial drop there in quality. I think we've seen in the midfield, same thing. You know, if you're relying on Jack and Anthony and Barak to start every game, Amrabat, same thing. It's a problem. I love Luca Ranieri. I think he's going to have a really good career. I also don't think that he's really ready to play significant minutes as a center back, which with Milenkovic hurt, could very well be what's happening.
Yeah.
So I'm very concerned about the lack of depth. I think that a lot of players were brought in, and I like there aren't any players who came in who I think were bad business, but I think the failure to sell certain players and open roster spots is a huge issue and means that this club is probably not prepared to compete on three fronts right now. And I think that's a real issue.
Benassi's still here and going to be a backup. Come on.
I mean, he's not even ready. They couldn't even register him for Serie A because there's so many players on the roster. This is so embarrassing.
And we couldn't even give him away.
Boy,
he signed for how many more years?
I don't know.
Secret deals.
When's the heat
found out of your legacy afterwards?
Yeah. Boy, howdy. I don't know, man. But yeah, I mean, I think the other thing I want to bring up here too is there were a lot of rumors that Fiorentina was going to take a run at Andrea Belotti.
Yeah.
I know that you're a big Belotti guy. I've seen you do the hand on the forehead celebration a few times.
Anything that gets me closer to Richie.
We really do need to get a Samuele Richie sound effect every time he comes up in the podcast.
I don't know what it would sound like, but we need it.
I'm thinking maybe like a beep, like a slide whistle or something.
I don't know. I don't know if that would be it. I think it would probably be a little bit more like angelic.
Oh, well, okay, like an angelic slide whistle then.
Yeah. Or like a slow, like nice romantic slow song.
Just a little bit of Luther Vandross or Barry White or something.
Barry White, I think, can definitely get a tongue. Yep.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Producer Mike, you know our demands.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that I'm a little bit irritated they didn't spring for Belotti, especially since he went to Roma. I mean, he's not even really playing there. He's only made two appearances off the bench. Like, he's not really doing much.
And he was signed after the season started.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time to get him.
So, I mean, what that says to me is that Belotti had no interest in coming to Fiorentina. Which, I may have a different opinion. I could sort of see that, but I don't know. Like, I don't think that the club gambling on Luka Jovic was a terrible idea. At the time, we were all really excited about that. So, like, I can see why they would go for a younger, cheaper player, especially given the financial terms they got him on. Right now, it's not looking so good, let's be honest. But, I know that we've talked about Belotti a little bit, and it'd be nice to have him now, but hindsight being what it is. But, yeah, I think at the time, the club more or less did make the right decision there. So I'm pretty cool with it.
So here's my theory, and this goes back to Ribéry. Why did we sign Franck Ribéry? Because he was the best midfielder that we could sign for those wages at the time?
No. You think it's a prestige thing?
It's a prestige thing. To be able to get Franck Ribéry and have him come in with all the social media that he has, that was why we signed him. I believe that we signed Jovic because he's coming from Real Madrid. He was going to be this next greatest thing. And we just sold the greatest thing. And we were hoping to catch, you know, lightning in a bottle again with him. I think that he comes with a pretty good social media presence, and that matters to this group here. But to lose sight of the fact that you have a guy who's 15 goal scorer year in and year out, and you give that up for a guy, I think he's had, what, 3 goals over the past 3 years? Something like that?
Something real bad, yeah.
Paltry. It's just not what we need in a year where we're going to Europe. You need to know where you can depend on goals, especially when we saw such a dip at the end of last season when we sold Dusan Vlahovic.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So tell you what, man, put a grade on it. I think I'm going to give it probably about a 6. I think the failure to move on the deadwood, have these guys gumming up the salary is a huge problem. I think the lack of depth in certain positions, especially at the back and in the middle, still a huge problem. I think they did a pretty good job bringing in players. I like, in a vacuum, every player who was brought in. But I'm not sure how much we actually saw the squad upgraded in a lot of ways.
Speaking of which, so I'm going to go into this in a little bit of detail. Maybe we're going to make it scientific here.
All right, Professor Mike, let's go.
All right. So let's break it down as we look at the start of last year versus the start of this year. And you guys, of all the things we may say, this is where people will probably be able to disagree the most, and that's fine. We want to hear it. So when you're looking at the squad, I'm going to say this. Jovic and Cabral, whether you say either or you take them together, doesn't matter. They're not as good as Dusan. Dusan, much better than those two.
Sure.
The combination of Nico and Sotil this year, less than what Nico was starting at last year. He's injured, not even able to play. And I think he had a little bit better run in him at that point. So I have Nico better than Nico and Sotil at this point.
Oh, I don't wholly agree with that. I think Ricky Sotil's been fantastic.
He has been fantastic at times, but he was also past couple of games.
Yeah,
not really impacting anything.
Let's not forget that Nico got sent off for applauding too. So,
and I applaud him for that. Kwame is much better than Cajon. I have Amrabat slightly less than Torreira, and you'll probably get some people who may take issues with that, but I have Torreira much better, not much better. I have him better than Amrabat at this point. Barak better than Castrovilli last year. Jack is not as good as Jack last year, so we did not upgrade there.
I'm with you on that.
Baragi's equal to Baragi, Milenkovic equal to Milenkovic. Igor this year and last year, I'm going to say it's kind of the same. You know, he hasn't lit it up. And I have Dodo on par with Odriozola. Towards the end of the year is where you can start debating Odriozola and Dodo. But to start the year, that is where I have it. So my ranking system is that we've actually decreased value at two different positions overall. And we've decreased significantly on the goal scoring opportunities when we got rid of Vlahovic. So I'll say this. If you would have asked me 2 or 3 weeks ago what I would have rated, I probably would have given it a 6, 6.5. Right now, I'm going to give it a 5 after I've had the opportunity to watch a few games. And had it not been for the fact that a goalkeeper caught a ball and walked it through the, you know, across the line, we would have been winless to start the season.
Hey, just like Bologna.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a perfect time to take a break and do a little bit of crying. But, you know, we'll be back right after this. And we're back, and now that we've got 5 Serie A games to look at, I feel like that's probably a big enough sample size. What are your thoughts over these first 5? What's really standing out to you so far? And I know that one of the things that stands out to you is that Samuele Ricci is not on this team, but what else?
Well, it doesn't matter. The only way we can score a goal is if a goalkeeper trips over the line and brings it in himself. That's number one. Where are the goals? Where are the goals? There was a YouTube video years ago, and hopefully we can actually find this and we'll even post it, because I think that'll be an extra addition to this podcast. What it was a video of somewhere outside of Atlanta, maybe it was in Georgia, and it was kind of a spoof, I think, anyway. And it was the leprechaun in the trees in the ghetto. Have you ever seen this? And then they turned that newscast into a rap remix. And it was, I want to know where the gold at. And then it just kept going. I want to know where the gold at. I want to know where the gold at. Let's change it. I want to know where the goals are at. Where are the goals? We have none. None. Where are they? We need to see some goals.
That was unbelievably niche, even for us.
I'll find it. We're going to include it. You guys are going to enjoy it. There's a leprechaun pipe and everything.
Producer Mike, I'm leaving you in charge of that.
I think they passed the pipe around too much down there, though.
Anyways, yeah, I do. I would love to know where the goals are. I mean, I think I will say I think we're I think Fiorentina have been a little bit unlucky. Mm-hmm. I mean, Arthur Cabral would have scored about 9 goals against RFS, but but you know, Paul Steinbors turned into prime Sebastian Frey out of nowhere, which was a bummer. Also, I think that Ricardo Sotil has been fouled in the box like 3 or 4 times and not gotten the whistle. And I think if he'd gotten even a couple of those, we would be looking at this very differently too. So I'm not as worried about the goals. Yeah, okay, very nice, producer Mike. What, so win more penalties so Jovic can miss them? Oh, lovely, thanks. God, you jerk, just ruining my theories here. So I'm not as worried, but yeah, I think a lot of what we've seen is a problem, and it does come down to goals. And so tell you what, I'm going to go a little off the script here. What has been working, do you think, in terms of getting goals? Like, do you see anything that, any approach that you think works?
That we're doing today? just any approach that could potentially work? Because going back to your comment, I'll say this. I am worried about where the goals are. I'm not worried about where the team necessarily is. I think that there are goals that will come, and when they come, they will come in abundance. I'm with you. I think a little bit luckier, a little bit better placed, and we're scoring probably 5-6 more goals, which changes things quite a bit. What is working as far as goals? I honestly don't see too much that is working in the sense that we just keep doing the same thing, which is push that ball up the wing with very, very fast players. And we launch it into the middle where nobody can get ahead on the ball. And I made this comment before. It's like, hey, we've had this ball for 70% of the game, time of possession. I'm just going to run it down to the corner and toss it back over to you guys. And here, you take the ball. I'm tired of playing with it. Seems like that's our game plan, and it makes no sense.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's not a terrible interpretation of what's going on. I don't know, man. Have there been any positives for you out of these first five games, do you think?
I like the ball on the ground today.
Hey, I
like that ball on the ground. I've seen a couple midfielders start to take some long shots. I think we need to start getting this defense to be less packed on the inside there. We have to start doing something because everybody understands our game plan. So, yeah, you close down on the wing, it's lofted in, but then they have, you know, 14 guys in there that are heading it away. So I do think that a couple of the subtle changes moving through the middle, that nice pass that we had, the linkage between Sotil and Kwame in the open field, and the balls on the ground. That is where I think we could do so much better than in the air. I don't know Jovic when he was scoring at Frankfurt. I don't know if he was somebody who could score in the air like that. But it seems if he was, then his vertical has decreased at least 6 inches. And Cabral just isn't getting enough time. I think Cabral needs to be in the game more than Jovic at this point.
I definitely agree with that latter point. I will say, though, I think the one thing that I think has been working is, I mean, look at who the wingers are. I mean, Nico Gonzalez, Ricky Sotil, Christian Kwame, I mean, even Jonathan Ikone, when he's, you know, not tripping over his own feet in front of the goal, they're all really, really good dribblers. And if they get isolated against a single defender, they can beat the man and make something happen. And I think that's definitely been the game plan from Italiano for the most part. And it's fun to watch when they do it right. Like watching Ricky and Nico just cook people is great. I really enjoy it. But yeah, I mean, what happens after that, not so good. But yeah, man, I will say it has been fun to see a bunch of these wingers, especially some guys who have not had as much success in Florence, really, really grow into their roles.
Do you want to say it? Go ahead.
God, he's so handsome, isn't he?
And so that's Sotil. But I think that, honestly, you deserve a lot of credit over the years for Kwame. So why don't you say why? Come on. Go ahead. You were right.
Oh, I mean,
you've been saying it.
Yeah. I mean, using him as a target man, never going to work. But no, I'm happy. I'm happy with Kwame. Yeah. I'm very happy that he's finally started to get it back. More on that later, I think. But yeah, man, I don't know. So the next heading on our running order here is what hasn't worked. And so that this podcast is a reasonable length. Mike, what hasn't worked for you? And, and let's try to be pretty brief here.
I mean, you know, there definitely is a lot. I think I'm most surprised at how poorly the defense is playing. You know, Milenkovic being out a couple games is not helping. But it seems like even when he's been there, there's been a few mental lapses, I guess we'll call them. That's not working. I can't harp on it anymore. The wing play is not working. I think the rotation of goalkeepers is very interesting. And I think that we need to have a little bit more continuity in players playing together, because if we're going to be playing high-level ball, we need to have a high-level squad that goes and does that. One other thing that I will mention on the positive side, as far as a team dynamic, I think we've actually learned to draw or win games that we otherwise would have drew or lost in years past. And that's a psychological thing that many young teams have to learn. And I am very happy to see that we're not losing games at the end that we otherwise would have, because we'd be sitting with 3 points instead of six. I mean, it doesn't sound like a whole hell of a lot, but you know, that is a positive takeaway. So
no, that's fair.
Yeah. What hasn't worked for you?
Oh boy. I think that, like you said, playing exclusively down the wings, I mean, even with these fantastic wingers, I think has really, really not helped. I mean, if your entire attack is based around people winning their one-on-one matchups, if they don't win those matchups consistently in a game, you're not going to have any success. And I think that's happened a couple of times. I think also with the striker being so isolated, especially when the wingers stay wide and try to beat a man like that. Yeah, I'd really like to see a little bit more work to pass the ball through the lines, through the middle. I mean, Sofyan Amrabat has been superb this year, I think. I would probably have him as the player of the season if we ended it right now, which, you know, given recent trends, would probably be good. Make sure Fiorentina doesn't get relegated. But one of the things that he does not do is pass the ball on the ground through the lines just forward. He's always looking to spread it to the wings, which is great. And I think a lot of that is because that's what he's been told to do, and he's really good at it. But I think that trying to play into the other midfielder's feet or into the striker's feet would be really helpful and would also move some of the defense away from the wings and open spaces elsewhere. And I think that is what I would really like to see, instead of just everything having to come from the wide areas, because it makes Fiorentina really predictable and pretty easy to play against, I think.
Do you think there was somebody that we may have discussed on this podcast that could have helped with that?
Is this our third Samuele Ricci mention of the day?
Well, him or Torreira, I was thinking, but...
Yeah, that is a... Lucas Torreira did like to hit those passes.
Yep.
I think the other thing that I would like to see more of, Igor is fantastic at those passes. We've seen him do that consistently. I would like to see him be a little more aggressive with his distribution.
At least not for another game, though.
Well, yeah, we're definitely not going to see that for a little bit. Yep. Well, I guess against, in Istanbul, at least, probably
we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, man, it's just, I don't know. Just feels like a lot of stuff is broken, you know? I don't really like it.
No.
And hey, you know, we did talk about Kwame. So I want this next section is the most pleasant surprise on the season. Which player has been the most pleasant surprise? I got to say, I think it's Chris Kwame. I mean, he's been written off. I think that he was kind of looked pretty miserable in Florence for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, being miscast as a target man by Beppe Iacchini didn't do him or anyone else any favors.
Not treated well.
Yeah, and I think that it really eroded his confidence. I think he probably came back from his injury a little too early also. And yeah, man, I mean, you know, he got that loan away to Anderlecht, looked good. I was sure that he was going to be gone. And seeing him come back and fight for a spot and win a spot and start looking like the guy he was before...
The injury.
That injury, yeah. It's just been so cool. I could not be more excited for him. And his enthusiasm for the team, when he got that assist to Bonaventura in the first game, he was so excited. Like, he's...
All over social media.
Yeah. Oh, man, his game day graphics are fantastic.
Love it.
They're maybe better than Arthur Cabral's. Mm-hmm. I did not ever think I would say that. But yeah, I'm just so excited that he's really come back with something to prove, and I think he is definitely proving it. So, man, good on him.
Yeah, and he's been the most aggressive going towards the goal this year. I don't have anybody more aggressive than him, trying to get and then getting at the ball, putting it on net.
I think that his directness has been great. I'd love to see him play from the left occasionally so that he could cut in onto his stronger foot and maybe take a few more shots. But yeah, I've just been delighted with him. But yeah, I'm very excited about that. who's been mine?
I have admittedly not been the biggest Amrabat fan. since he's got here. I think that he has underperformed for 2 years. I don't think that it's unfair to say that. However,
no, I don't think so.
This year, he is the player that he was when we bought him, right? Like, he is doing everything that he was doing before. And it has been one of the brightest spots, one of the most consistent spots. You mentioned a couple things today that stood out and maybe are small deficiencies. But I think that they're only small deficiencies because he's really elevated his level of play. He's elevated the command that he has. He's a leader. Yeah. He's a scrapper. Anytime that there's a scrap, he's in the middle of it. And we talk about that. Igor being a big dude. I don't want to mess with Amrabat. Like, that's a well-to-do dude. He's a tank.
Yeah.
So I am very happy to see him put it together. And let's give Camiso credit. Like, you know, here, this was Rocco's guy. Positive thing. This is Rocco's guy, and he's performing very, very well, honoring the owner of the club. And I think it's phenomenal. If he can continue this and we get back some players from injury and some of the other players pick up their game, you'll start seeing a pretty good team. And that's when I think goals will start, you know, going in the net. But I love what I've seen.
I could not agree more. Amrabat's been amazing. I think it was I think the first time I really realized, like, oh, he's starting to look like the guy he was in Verona.
Yeah.
Was in the Napoli game when he just bodied Zambo Anguissa, like, through the crust of the earth. Just so nonchalantly took him off the ball. And, like, and Zambo Anguissa was, like, looking around for a foul. It's like, nah, dude, you just got weight roomed. Get up and start playing again. I think that was that kind of swagger and that kind of physicality. I think Amrabat is starting to find it again. And, oh, my goodness, he is genuinely fun to watch now. I really like that guy.
He really is. So,
yeah, great call on Amrabat.
And one other thing that's been a pleasant surprise is this glass of wine. I noticed it as I was taking a sip, the amount of sediment that's on the bottom. It goes to show you just how good this wine really, really is. So highlight.
Well, now that we've got that out of the way, I'll let you get some of that sediment washing around in your mouth there. Who do you think really needs to improve? And the catch here is you can only say one.
Oh, that really hurts. That really hurts. All right. So I'm only going to pick one, but that doesn't mean I can't discuss more than one. So Italiano is not my pick, but he needs to see the game as it is and adjust. Jovic needs to figure out if he wants to play professionally or not and pick it up, but he's not my pick. Ikone is going to be my pick. I was really excited when he came in. I was on this podcast and I said, that's the type of player we need on the wing. That's the type of player we want to see playing for Fiorentina. He's going to come in and he's going to be worth double in 2-3 years and we're going to be able to sell him. Wow. Flash forward every game since. And I don't know if it's the pressure, because we know the pressure can get to you in Florence. It's the only club in the city. The fandom, the fanaticism there is as high as it gets in any city. The Franchi is always, always loud. And there's a lot of pressure. It seems like there's a lot of pressure he puts on himself. You know, I hear that he's a phenomenal dribbler, and he is. But it's like watching an N1 mixtape from back in the 90s where you just do a whole bunch of dribbles in one spot and don't go anywhere. He's never going towards the goal. I think he needs to realize that he needs to act quicker in a direction rather than, you know, crossing everybody over a couple times and not going anywhere. That's for starters. Second, you know, the obvious. I mean, I bet you if you would have set up a couple of those shots, there had to have at least been 7 or 8 that he's just whiffed on. I would have at least got one. I would have at least got one. And it would have been a complete chance because there's no skill for me. But I just don't understand how he cannot score. When I keep saying I'm not worried about the goals coming in the future, it's because I think that Okoneh is going to put it together at some point. And when he starts building confidence, going like back to Dušan, I think the club, let's go back to this. Dušan didn't get the support from the club. He got it from Cesare Prandelli.
Yeah.
You listen to anything Dušan says, he thanks Cesare for the support in getting him through. Everything that I've heard out of the city, I won't mention from who, has been very positive towards the relationship of those two. Somebody needs to take Okoneh underneath his wings or her wings and do the same thing, work them through the mental aspects, the emotional aspects of the game, because once they have that breakthrough, I have no doubt that Okoneh is a world-class player. He just needs to get pointed in the right direction and feel, taste success. And once that happens, I think he'll probably calm down a little bit and become a killer. So that's mine.
No, I agree with you. He's got all the tools to be lethal. I think he just needs to, settle in a little bit. And I think you're right. I think that is like the emotional and the part between the ears more than anything else with him. Although, his shooting is just wacky, isn't it? I don't understand.
You can score at least two there.
I mean, that one against RFS, that was rough. I think I'm going to go a little bit left field here for the guy who I want to see improve a whole lot. And not necessarily because of him, because I think he is a very illustrative case for this whole team. And I think for me, it's Alex Turcic. I've been really, really unimpressed with him. He just doesn't look like he's ready to play at this level. I know he's a younger player. I know he only started playing as a fullback fairly recently. Fair, but I don't think that he's ready. And he is going to have to play a lot of minutes because Cristiano Biraghi cannot play twice a week for an entire season. It's just not going to work. And I think that the reason that Fiorentina is relying on someone like Alexa Terzic or Lorenzo Venuti or Luca Ranieri or, name any number of other players who just don't look like they're quite up to speed. That is a really big problem, and that makes me super nervous. So I'm not really trying to pick on Alexa Terzic here. I think that his struggles are more illustrative of a larger problem in squad building. But
let me
I really
ask you this.
Oh, go ahead.
Is that more of an issue to the club, or is it on the right-hand side with Venuti, in your opinion?
See, I think that Lolo is better than he's played this year.
Yep.
I mean, he has had a rough time this season, for sure.
Talk about the bad breaks. Yep.
Yeah, but I think that he is – I mean, he's shown he can play in a Serie A defense and be competent. I don't think he's ever going to be a star.
Mm-hmm.
But he's at his best, he is a steady, reliable contributor. And that's what you want in your backup, right? You don't need a superstar as the backup. So to me, it's much more on the left.
So let me ask you this, because I know you've been following the team for a long time. De Silvestri is somebody who grew up in the club, didn't have the most success, but left and had found more success. Do you compare him to De Silvestri or better or worse?
I think that Lorenzo De Silvestri is probably a slightly better player just because he is, I think, probably slightly more athletic. I mean, De Silvestri is, I mean, I know you look at him, he doesn't look like a real spectacular athlete, a large balding man, but he's really quick.
Whoa.
Wait, I just realized who's sitting across the screen from me. McMike, how did you get here?
Oh, my goodness. It was the glare off of my head. You didn't see me, I guess.
No. Oh, God, it's blinding. Dave Silvestri, really fast, really big, jumps really well. I mean, not particularly technically proficient or, outstanding. And I think Lolo does. I think Lolo's probably better on the ball. But he's also a little bit more prone to getting bullied by bigger players. And I think that's a problem for him.
Yeah.
But again, a club like Fiorentina, you can't expect everyone to be is really, really good, right? Like that's part of the challenge about building a team.
Yeah.
For a club that isn't, you know, Man City or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta figure out where you have your weaknesses and figure out how you can plan around them. And so yeah. I think to me, the fact that there still are so many weak points in this team, especially when a starter is out, that's a problem. And Alexa, again, not to pick on him specifically, but I think that he is maybe the most illustrative example of that.
So I know on script we're transitioning, but let me ask one last question, and I want to get your opinion on this. The first part of this season, the first quarter of this season is absolutely killer as far as the amount of games that this team is playing.
Yeah.
And we've heard the stories between fans, and I've been outspoken to see 9 players switch every single game. We've heard Italiano talk about why it's necessary. We've seen the injuries. Once this team gets through this first part of the season, do you see them being better off when there's less games, and are they more equipped for that second, third and third of the seasons?
Yeah, for sure. I think that it's really hard for a club around Fiorentina's size to compete on 3 fronts.
Yep.
That's just a fact, especially a club that has been out of Europe for half a decade and has not really been close to it since then, let's say, charitably. So I think that's the real issue to me. And there's no expertise in how to do that at the club. Like none of the players have really had to do it. I mean, Italiano, I think we forget frequently that he's a very young coach, right? Like this is only his third year in Serie A, fifth with a professional team, something like that. So he is still also piecing it together, and he is still growing as a manager. And I think that's really important to remember about him.
And I think that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think this is just part of the growing process right now. Is it's not always going to be like straight linear growth moving to the upper right-hand corner. And this is definitely one of those times when it is not. So, really hoping that changes soon, though, because I don't want to wake up at 5 a.m. and watch Fiorentina concede twice in 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Yeah, well, and maybe January is that time frame. I mean, I think we've profited 24 million euros over the past 2 years in the Mercato. So maybe it's about time we splash some of that cash rather than sitting on the positive side from a financial fair play standpoint. Let's start testing some of those waters where we bring in some players and have some more depth.
I don't hate that idea. I don't hate that idea at all. Would love that.
Would love that.
All right. Well, all right, let's wrap this up. Now that we're actually back in season playing games, we get to start doing our shout outs here. And we haven't talked much about Fiorentina Femminile this year. I think we're probably going to do an episode on them in the next couple of months here. But who is your who has been your standout so far across these first couple of games for them?
Well, first of all, two wins.
Yeah.
To start off the season.
Yeah.
Let's just start off there. The season that we had last year, down, very questioned, you know, like everybody's questioning, do we have the right players? Do we have the right leadership? Do we have the right coach? 2 wins, Milan and then Como today. And again, Como, to see them up here, I mean, it just shows the amount of money that club has. So I'm going to go with the player that we brought in last year, has a tremendous pedigree. Yeah. And scored today in the game where we won 2-1. And first of all, I would have loved to be on that trip. I was actually talking to some of the people. It's no longer called Go Women's. They changed the name of the club.
Oh, really?
Okay. Another time. But I was talking to them. They made the trip up, and it was just a phenomenal trip, they said. So I'm going to go with, back online, Vero Bacchetti.
Is
who I'm going to be going with. And I think that this is a player that we'll be hearing a lot more about this season. And if we're going to continue to win, we need to be hearing a lot more about her.
Yeah, great call. I mean, it's always a good time to talk about Vero Boquete because she is a legend of the game.
And you say it so much better than I do. You commit to it. I'm still afraid to commit to it.
Mike, you got to commit sometimes.
I do.
It's either commit or be committed, you know?
I was almost this week.
Yeah, that's fair. It's been a week for you. I'll go with another forward-thinking player here who's been in the goals pretty well. And I'm going to go with Jeanette Gaillard, I think is how that's pronounced, more or less. Sorry, I do not speak Hungarian. She's been playing at striker this year, replacing some pretty well-known goal scorers. That was a pretty big boost to fill up front, especially when Daniela Sabatino is still on the team. But Kayan went out and got a brace in the opener at Milan for the 3-1 win. She looked real lively to me, very quick, real good instincts in the box, calm finisher. And, to connect these, after her second goal, she picked off a lazy back pass, rounded the keeper, slotted it home, and turned around, and Vero Boquete just tackled her. And it was real, like, you could see when the camera zoomed in that Jenna was just like, what the hell's happening? Oh, God! And then Vero just got her. It was really good. And I'm also going with her because she was drafted by my hometown, Seattle Reign. I will not say OL Reign because that's a stupid name and it doesn't belong. The Seattle Reign.
You did.
She was with the club for the past 6 months and for some reason didn't work out, and she's moved back to Europe. She's also a former New Yorker, went to St. John's. And scored a ton of goals there too. And I think she's, for her career, averaged better than a goal every other game, which is astounding. So I'm looking forward to seeing a lot more of her, especially if Brace at Milan on opening day is where we're starting.
That's an indicator.
And all right, let's do a Primavera. Who you got there?
Ayan Tochi.
Hey,
am I pronouncing it right?
Yeah, sure, man.
Sure. just talking again about pedigree here, none of these players have it, but as far as looking forward, people are expecting a lot of Tochi. I think that there's still an opportunity for him to develop this year, score a lot of goals, make a name for himself, get out on loan, and then become something. Already has a goal. One trend that I did notice is the rotation that he has every single game this year. And talk again about Fiorentina Femminile. Primavera sitting third right now, completely different season than what they had last year as well.
Oh man. Yeah.
And, every single game this year, he has actually come out somewhere between the 70th and 80th minute. And you're seeing Falu Sene, who's going to be coming in for him, who's actually a homegrown talent from Fiorentina. And I know that they're very high on him progressing into a starter spot for next year. So I think you're starting to see a nice rotation of players. You and I have talked about it in the past. I'm not sure if the Primavera has been something that we've focused on enough. We just have not seen enough players come through there the way that we did when Corvino was here. But I think you're starting to see a few more of the players, and Tochi's definitely one that I think will have an opportunity to showcase his skill set and eventually, potentially, get a shot at the first team.
Yeah, great call. I almost picked him too, actually. So I'm glad that he's getting a little bit of shine here. Wearing the captain's armband too this year.
Yep.
But yeah, it's really exciting for anyone watching the Primavera, which you can do for free usually on the club website.
Mm-hmm.
Really exciting that he's back after the year he had last time out. He's looked great. I think also to me, he's looked like he's focusing a little bit more on not just being the finisher, but on being a more complete forward and involving his teammates.
Yeah.
So yeah, great call. He looks like he is still growing. And tell you what, man, I'm going to call up a guy who was on the team last year too, Filippo Di Stefano.
Yep.
Playing on the left wing now. And I thought last year he was not nearly as good when he played from the left. because he was so focused on cutting inside and shooting with his right every single time he got the ball. And when he was played on the right, I thought he was a lot better because he couldn't do that. So he was forced to actually look for passes in. And I think he was, yeah. So I was a little worried to see that he was back on the left now. And he's been fantastic, I think. Mm-hmm. He's got a goal. He's got an assist. One, in fact, for your boy Tochi. Mm-hmm. And he's just looked really, really good, really active. He's moved away from that tunnel vision a little bit. He's developed a fantastic understanding with Tochi. A couple of their interchanges around the area have been just super fun to watch. And yeah, man, I think he might really have a future. Native Tuscan, too.
Yep.
Yeah, from Camaiore, just northwest of Lucca. Yeah, so, yeah, I think he's another one to watch.
I get the feeling here, and again, we're what, 5 games in at this point, something like that. I really do get the feeling that there's a different type of chemistry. Now, keep in mind, we have won the only cups have come through the Primavera, but the past few seasons have not been the best seasons for the club themselves. Both have been in that relegation battle area. I really get the sense that there is a different type of chemistry on side of this club here this year. And I think that's going to have a big, big impact towards some wins and pushing us all the way up.
Yeah. Great call. I think that, yeah, once you have a little bit to build on that, you're in a much better place. And man, that sounds like a really nice positive note to end on after a,
I don't do positive on these things. Come on. I mean, that's what I hear anyway.
From sources unnamed.
Unnamed
sources.
Everybody's unnamed.
Well, in that case, here are your anonymous podcast hosts signing off. Thanks, everyone, for listening in. Mike, see you next time, man.
Viola Station is hosted by Mike and Tito. Producer Mike produced this episode. Our theme song is Great Catch by Windchime Weather. Check them out at windchimeweather.bandcamp.com. Viola Station is the podcast from violanation.com. Viola Nation is part of the SB Nation network. Forza Viola.
Sports Social Podcast Network.